Violinist David Kim was named Concertmaster of the Philadelphia Orchestra in 1999. Born in Carbondale, Illinois in 1963, he started playing the violin at the age of three, began studies with the famed pedagogue Dorothy DeLay at the age of eight, later received his bachelor's and master's degree from the Juilliard School.
David Kim will, of course, perform with the Philadelphia Orchestra here at SPAC and will participate in the SPAC Chamber Music Festival this Sunday. He will present as part of a quintet a program entitled Night in Day, which will feature pieces by Stravinsky, Mozart, and Brahms.
And it's an honor to welcome David Kim to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very, very much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
So what does a concertmaster do?
Concertmaster is kind of like the quarterback of the team.
Really?
There's over 100 members of an orchestra on stage. Yeah. And the concertmaster is the first chair violinist.
Right.
So I kind of act as the representative for the entire orchestra. So there's a lot of handshaking going on. The concertmaster, the conductor will come on at the beginning of the concert and shake my hand. But in essence, he's shaking the hand of the entire orchestra through me. And then I'll tune the orchestra. And then the concertmaster also acts as kind of a liaison between the conductor and the rest of the members of the orchestra in terms of communicating. I can do that verbally. I can do it through my facial expressions. I can do it through through this kind of thing, being in the media. And so I kind of present a face for the orchestra because the conductor is not always around. These great maestros are.
So in terms of tuning up the orchestra, I'm always interested in that. You get the violinist who plays.
It's the oboist.
But I thought the violinist went first and then the oboist. No.
No, I walk on stage.
Yeah.
To rapturous applause, and then I kind of turn around to the orchestra and I look at the first oboe. And for some reason, tradition is he gives an A, not a C, not a G.
An A.
He gives an A.
Yeah.
And then first, all the winds, brass, all those instruments will tune for about 10 seconds. Then they'll quiet down. He'll give another A, and then I will start tuning, and that is the cue for all the rest of the instruments, the stringed instruments, to tune.
But one last question on that. I saw Lang Lang the other night at Tanglewood, and I noticed the oboe went through the thing, but then they played the concert A on the piano. I take it you can't retune a piano that easily.
That's right. So if we're playing a piano concerto, then the tradition is I will go over and play the A on the piano.
Yeah, so you better know where A is on the piano.
I've missed a few times.
I think you probably figured that one out.
I've missed.
Is the concertmaster typically the violinist?
Yes, the concertmaster is always the first chair violinist who sits immediately to the left of the conductor.
So does that mean that the violinists are more important than anyone else in the orchestra?
Sure.
I wish I could say yes, but it's not true. We are equal.
I asked this as a violinist, so go ahead.
I see. Yeah. Well, I think the reason that the concertmaster has, through the ages, has taken this role of prominence is because there used to not be conductors, and orchestras simply would follow the concertmaster. Uh-huh. And then as music got more and more complex, as the group got larger and larger, we needed somebody up there to kind of be the traffic cop.
What kind of violin do you have?
The violin that I have is made by a man named J.B. Guadagnini in 1757 in Milan, Italy. Early 1700s was the golden period of violin making. This, if it were sold today, would go for about a cool $1.2
million. Whoa.
Yeah, they're very expensive.
More so than somebody's house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're very, they're so rare and such great works of art. It's like holding a Rembrandt in your hand.
Do you try it out? I mean, it's like a car, right? I mean, when did you get this violin?
Well, actually, it's not mine. I got it about 7-8 years ago. It was given to the Philadelphia Orchestra, and that happens once in a while. It was owned by a retired mathematics professor at the University of Pennsylvania, and he was a lifelong amateur violinist, and he wanted it to be played in perpetuity. Yeah. So he gave it to the Philadelphia Orchestra, and it certainly has flown around the world probably 50 times,
right.
Played in all the great concert halls of the world. And when you do choose a violin, it is truly like, it's like a courtship. Many times it is that first moment, the first note that you play, it just has that feeling. It just kind of, you can feel the vibrations in your neck. It comes right through the instrument, and you can really literally feel that kind of love at first sight. And then there are times when you just pick it up and it's a dog.
Now, tell us about the, of course, we mentioned Night and Day, which is taking place as part of the Saratoga Chamber Music Festival, which is always a wonderful event. But tell us a little bit about the concert tonight and one of the reasons why we're here. 150th, the Saratoga Race Course 150th anniversary concert is going to be presented tonight. And you're doing a lot of different things tonight. It's a large repertoire.
Well, this program, the genesis came from the Boston Pops, actually, and they have played it around the country. But I think really it kind of came together because of the 150th anniversary. And when you think of Saratoga, you think of course, the race course, and you think of SPAC. Right. And through SPAC, you think of the Philadelphia Orchestra. And so if you look through this program, it is chock full of horse references, racing references, the American West. We're playing scenes from Hoedown, from Rodeo by Aaron Copland, the Seabiscuit Suite, Saturday Night Waltz from Rodeo. It's just a lot of good old-fashioned American music, and who better to conduct than Keith Lockhart, a longtime conductor of the Boston Pops. As American as they come, pure kind of boy next door, and he's a tremendous treasure for Americans because we don't have as many great maestros coming from the American ranks as we do from Europe and Asia. So he's the real deal.
Yeah.
And making his SPAC debut.
Yep, absolutely.
Philadelphia Orchestra debut at SPAC, I think, something like that.
Right, right. He has conducted us before back in Philly, but this is very exciting for all of us. I mean, obviously he's conducted in the Berkshires a zillion times, but you know, over here, this is a really important debut for him, and I would guess that he's got some butterflies this morning.
I hate to bring up a difficult question, but the Philadelphia, like many orchestras, has had some financial problems. Are we weathering them?
Oh, absolutely. This economy has been tough for every single industry, and classical music is, of course, is not exempt from this, and we did go through a difficult time of reorganization. But things are really, really looking up. Our houses are big. The corporate giving, individual giving is up. And it was kind of a wake-up call. And we're certainly not out of the woods, but when are you ever out of the woods in classical music? It's difficult. In this country, the government does not sponsor us. We are not subsidized by the local government. We are basically on our own. And so ticket sales make up only a portion of our annual budget, and so you know, things like this, coming to SPAC, going on tour around the world, going to Carnegie Hall, Kennedy Center, these are all integral parts of our existence.
We just have about 2 or 3 minutes, and you know, your violin's out of the case, and your bow is there, and I assume it's all rosined up and ready to go. Would you mind? There is a microphone. There just happens to be a microphone right behind you.
Sure.
We would love for you to take us out, as it were.
Sure. Well, I just thought that I would give you a couple of little samples of what we're playing tonight, and one is the William Tell Overture by the great Italian opera composer Rossini. And Rossini, his William Tell Overture, people think, oh, William Tell, they think only of a crossbow and an apple, possibly. But really, what you should know about the
Now, do William you want to use that microphone, or are you okay with that one?
Oh, this is fine.
Okay.
Let's see how it sounds. This is what people always kind of give a little chuckle, like, oh, that's William Tell Overture? And so it is. It is one of the most standard
I don't think of apples. I think of the Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger too. Yes, yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Of course, those of us of a certain age. And Hoedown from Rodeo, really kind of made famous in the last 20 years from the beef commercial. The ending is
beef. It's what's for dinner. Right. That's very nice. Excellent. And now you have to go to rehearsal, and that will be pretty much an all-day affair, yes?
Well, actually, the morning, and that's the amazing thing about this great orchestra and conductors like Keith Lockhart. this morning we will see most of this music for the first time. And we will put this program together in the next 2.5 hours. And then tonight we'll come out on stage and sparkle like you can't believe.
Well, you're just showing off. That is amazing stuff. David Kim, thank you so much for joining us. He's the concertmaster of the Philadelphia Orchestra. Saratoga 150 concert is tonight, including just some of the wonderful work that David mentioned. You can find out more by going to spac.org, spac.org. David, a delight to have you with us once again.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks.
You're listening to the Roundtables live broadcast from the Saratoga Performing Arts Center in Saratoga Springs on WAMC.